You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Tonight, victorious Christian living. I hope when we sing I'm on the winning side, I hope we live there. There's a lot of things that happen in life that when a doctor tells you you have a terminal illness, that's, I don't know how you jump up and down for joy. I think you have to grow into that and grab it together and let God give you the grace. And I know everything's not a bed of roses, but I want to live on the winning side. I don't want anything to take my joy. I love more today pastoring this church than I did 48 years ago when I came. I love it. I love everything about this place. I love to hear the choir sing on Sunday morning, that huge choir, and that Sunday night, and all the orchestra and everybody in their spot, and this place packed. I glean so much from church. I depend on church these days. I love it, and I need it, and I need to be around you. By the time we get out of here, we'll probably be, as usual, the last ones to leave tonight, but we kind of like that, and I want you to have joy. We'd sing when we were kids, just a few minutes from here. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. New life He'll give today. And your life will start all over again. If you want joy, let Jesus come in. I want Jesus to lead my life, fill my life. We saw, as I reviewed already, the presence of God in thy presence. And I never quote that without thinking of my son, Tim, because he was the one that gave me that verse several years ago. Well, you know the problem, Dad. We're not in the presence of God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And then the people of God. I guess every church has nutcases. Some of you are sitting next to a nutcase right now. But every church has strange people. But so does every corporation. Everything has strange people. But it's an amazing thing that sometimes you can be strange people, but you're Christians. And you attract what you are, so that's why you're strange, because I guess I must be. But you're not strange, but you know what I mean. And then the byproduct, and we saw it last week from 1 John, there's life and there's light and there's all that God has, we saw in 1 John. And then the precious from God. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, most gladly, 2 Corinthians, most gladly will I glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest. Most gladly. I want to be joyful about this. I want to be glad that God chose me in his goodness. Paul suffered physically. And he goes, it's a wonder. You're going to have to learn to embrace. So many people complain about their illness or their whatever it might be, and you've lost it. God says he'll give you a crown of life. But he won't give you that crown of life so you can deposit it at the feet of Jesus if you're a complainer. I see folks all over the country in wheelchairs and canes and walkers and things, and I wonder if they're Christians. Are they suffering with joy in their heart so that they'll be able to give something to God one day? Nothing ever touches us but that it's Father filtered. It goes through the hand of God. He knows. And tonight I'm very, very excited about it because this is one of my favorite subjects to speak about. I want everyone to know this subject tonight. It's so vitally important. Did you know that God has a definite plan for your life? When the nursery workers were holding me in the nursery, they did not know that one day God was going to allow me to be a pastor, a shepherd of a church. They didn't know that when maybe I was squalling and crying and upset or whatever. They didn't know. And they might have said, this little guy is a brat. He is just a... I can't imagine anybody saying that, but they this little kid is just, he drives us crazy. Well, I got some members that say I drive him crazy too. But you know, God's plan for my life was to be a pastor of a church. That was God's plan. And the longer I do it, the more I've been a pastor, I know I can look back and by the grace of God, it's just God's grace, I entered into what His plan was for my life. I was in the presence of a very, 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 very wealthy man this week. And we were together talking and nothing, I would never ask for anything for this church and that's not what it's about. I got a phone number in my phone right now. The man I've never, he's called me a few times. I've never called him. And over the last 6 or 7 years, has given $70 million to one church alone. But I'm not going to call him. And he knows me, loves me. And can I tell you what? If God wants him to give money to this church, God will ring his bell. I'm not going to ask him for it. And by asking for it might leave God out of the equation. But I was with this wealthy man. He's not even 40 yet. And he said, Brother Treiber, the gift that God gave me, I know I'm in the will of God. I'm a Bible school graduate, you name it. But he goes, God has gifted me with the ability to make money. And he's very, very wealthy. And great assets. But he said, they're for God. And everything I have, I want to deposit it with God. And I want to get in God's work. He doesn't buy new cars, has a very nice car. He doesn't buy new things. He says, my life is about depositing in the work of the Lord. That's God's will for his life. God gifts, one of the nine gifts is the gift of giving. And if God gave you the gift to give and you hoard, you're missing out on the fulfilling the will of God for your life. God has a will. Look what the Bible says. And I want you to see this here in Romans chapter 15, now verse 30, Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here's a man of God calling out and saying, would you please pray for me? And I just have to interject right here for my wife and I. Thank you for praying for us. I would imagine that almost every minute of the day, a little child or a mother or a dad or a deacon or a staff member or a church member, a teenager is praying for us. Imagine if you add up all the minutes in an hour and minutes in a day and the hours in a day. Imagine most of the time someone's praying for us. Imagine many times through the night when we're asleep and someone cannot sleep. I wonder how many times our name is being called before God. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me. And I thank God for the people that have prayed. And maybe God will reveal that in heaven one day. Striving with me in your prayers that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. I want us to read verse 32. And this is our text and you'll see it. Ready? Begin. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be he says, joy by the will of God. The will of God is a plan. When we talk, and throughout the Word of God, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. You see it, Paul generally writes all the epistles, and the first verse or two, he'll always talk to the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. God has a will for your life. Have you found the will? You've heard this 1,000 times from me. You find the will of God, you fulfill the will of God, and you finish the will of God. Amen. Till the day you die, you finish the will of God. Find the will of God. And God, the will of God just simply means this. When God has a will for your life, he has a plan or a desire. God has a desire for your life. God has a plan for your life. And briefly, by introduction, how do you find it? Well, you find the will of God through the Word of God and through the house of God. I don't ever want to miss a service. Amen. I want to be here every time because I don't know what song is going to carry me through. I don't know what prayer is going to carry me through. I don't know what choir number is going to carry me through, what scripture or someone else's preaching or our testimony or a men's prayer meeting. Brother Jose, last Saturday night, and it wasn't lightning and all, but there was something very special about that men's prayer last Saturday night. Just something special about it. And I went home, I told my wife, there's something special. And she said, what? I told her some things. What I told her probably didn't sound special, but it was special. It was just very unusual. And we, Brother Gutierrez, shaking your head. We have great prayer meetings down there. And sometimes it's like lights are going off, you know, and other times it's prayer meeting. But, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just trying to say, I want to be around the will of God. So you go to the house of God. You go to the Word of God. I believe you go to the man of God. I believe you go to the peace of God. When you are in the center of God's will, there's a peace, a calm in your heart. It's an amazing thing about preaching. I asked my father-in-law one time, I said, when do you get over the nervousness of preaching? When do you get over that? And I'll never forget, he had pastored so many years by that time. He says, well, Jack, you better pray you never get over it. He goes, I always get nervous before I preach. But he said, you know, if something happens when I step in that pulpit, I feel so comfortable. And Brother Eliud, I don't know, but I imagine sometimes you look at this big choir that doesn't have enough, you don't have enough chairs for the choir that can't get in, and a full orchestra. I would imagine sometimes it's overwhelming. But I tell you what, when you get right here, I watch you. You know I watch. You ever sense that I'm watching you? I watch you when you're starting to drool, and I just see it all, you know? But I watch you, and it's just like you're very comfortable right here. You're in the will of God. There's a peace in the will of God. And then I find the will of God through the people of God, particularly Titus 2, older people, aged people. People that have walked with God, they can see. When I was young, people would already tell me, it's very obvious that God's going to place you in the ministry. And I somewhat rebelled because I knew I could not do that. But they saw what I could not see. You teenagers, you are so blessed to be in a church like this where there's so many. Some are only in their mid-40s or 50s, but they've been saved for 30, 35 years. And some are in their 50s and 60s and 70s beyond, and they have a wealth of experience and a wealth of knowledge. They can give you direction. You kids, most of you here, Christian parents, you teenagers, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. You can draw from such great source. And seek to discover the will of God. And then you find the will of God by fulfilling the will of God. Just do it. Because the answer is always yes.
Amen.
I saw the pastor last night, and he came up to me and he texted me. I said, I'll see you tonight. My wife and I are here to hear you preach. And he's from Wisconsin, Platteville, Wisconsin. And 55 years ago right now, we opened that church up in Platteville, Wisconsin. I was in college. And I found during COVID the cue card that I led the music. There was and you've heard it before, the man that was a fellow student, his wife was playing the piano, and he was the preacher, and I was the song leader, the three of us, and there are four people in church. Four. Two of them were teenagers. I preached there a few years ago, and that pastor and their beautiful buildings on the golf course. The golf course is right up against it. He told me last night, Brother Tree, we have that beautiful auditorium, the educational building. We just built a beautiful gym, finishing it up, and a big activity center, and all that. Well, there was four people out there 55 years ago. And the music professor said, Jack, you're going to Platteville, Wisconsin, to open up a church, a little tiny building wedged in between some houses. And I went by that a few years ago. I was preaching there. It's still there, but they moved out on the golf course. It's beautiful. And he said, you're not going to believe this, Brother Treiber. This is probably by then about 52, 53 years later. He said, those teenagers are still, I'm still thinking teenagers. He said, they're still coming to this church. And I like those teenagers. I'm still thinking teenagers. And he said, I want those two teenagers and maybe your family to come. And I'm thinking, oh, they got little kids now. 52 years later, what a dunce. I want to say, and they're probably watching right now, I want to say there's 40 to 45 in their immediate family. Children, their mates, their grandkids came and sang before I preached. You know, what an amazing thing. I didn't know how to lead music, but I said yes. And then they sent me over to Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. I had an actual choir in a church. Dr. Anderson was the pastor, and I worked there. And that was a bigger ministry. And then the day that they told me to go to March the 14th, 1971, to the great Berean Baptist Church. And I got to be the janitor and the music director, and within a few weeks, the bus director. And then I met the pianist who became my wife. You know, when someone asks, could you do this? They're always yes. You'll find that you'll get, you keep saying yes to God, He'll reveal His will to you. So He says here in the text, joy by the will of God. The plan of God. God has a plan. It's called His will. And I want you to see, turn with me, if you will, and I'm going to try to go real fast, Acts chapter 13. I want you to see in Acts 13, I'll move you around quickly, Acts 13. In Acts 13, I want you to see, first of all, the permanent will of God. In other words, it's a lifetime. God has a will for you. You may have to go to Platteville first and Sun Prairie and Rockford, but you'll find the will permanent. God was placing me in the ministry, and it may be a missionary. Then you may be in the States pastoring. I don't know how it all works, but I know it's to serve Him for a lifetime. I know that's God's plan for my life. It's not God's plan for all of you. God has different things for all of us to do. But here in Acts 13, I love what the Bible says, verse 36, David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, what's the next three words? Fell asleep. Chapter 13, 36, it's the permanent will of God. I wonder how many people started something for God and got bored with it or got tired of it or something else invaded their life and this is more important. I've watched so many people want that, whatever class, second grade boys Sunday school class. They wanted that. They loved it. They were doing great. But then success came in their life. And because the business is a success, and things, I can't teach second grade anymore. I'm just too busy. I believe that if God gives, one of the gifts is the gift of teaching. And if God gave you that gift of teaching, then it's got to be fulfilled. For a lifetime, just do it. Brother Clint, K-L-I-N-T, he might be watching. I think he's in his 90s now. I had his brother's funeral, who was Brother Dale Clint in Visalia years ago. And he was a good man, loved the Lord, Baptist preacher. And he said, Brother Treiber, and this is years ago, my mother, I want to say, and if he's watching, he could correct me. I want to say, he said, she's 97. She's real sharp. She's alert. She's active. She walks and talks and she has been teaching Sunday school, I think he said, for 70-some years, 75 years, whatever it was. It was enormous. Well, I think, here's what you hear. I think, you know, I've been teaching for 20 years. I think I'm gonna let the younger kids take over. Why? You finally have something to say. I'm not as smart as other preachers. And I know that. And I may not have the delivery like some of the great orators and all that. I know that. But Laban said, I have learned by experience. And I will guarantee it, Brother Harder, and you know, it's because you're the same. I have experience that a kid that's in the ministry for 3 years doesn't have. There's some experience there. He's smarter than me. He's more intelligent than me. He knows how to use a computer, and he's brilliant, and he can speak, and he's all these things. That's all great. That's good. But he still doesn't have experience. God calls him simple, and he calls me prudent. Not that I'm smarter than him. He's smarter than I am. Prudent means you're seasoned. I'm seasoned. I know what it is to have real good, exciting days, and I know what it is to have real difficult times. And David served his own generation. It's permanent until he died. And remember 2 Samuel chapter 23, maybe 24, I think it's 23, where he said a king must be like the morning dew and like the sunrise, and he must have a good home, although it's not so with me and my house. But he still served God. Why would, I don't know how I'd go through. So your mate leaves you, walks away from you. Okay, I can't serve the Lord anymore. Why? Okay, I have financial reversal, and so I can't serve God anymore. God says he these were permanent things. Look at the second thing he says, Romans 12, 2, right there in Acts. So just go over to Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And chapter 12 and verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll get there. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Now I'm in Romans 8. Now I'm in, here we go. And the perfect will of God. It's perfect. When you find the will of God, that's the perfect place where God wants you. That's the perfect place. We played in this area, this region, all this Bay Area. When I was in high school, we played fast pitch softball, all the churches. Friday night under the lights in Hayward or in Castro Valley. And I played in the men's league. And I tell you, I was scared to death. That ball came flying in there. I mean, they wind up and throw that thing. And it was fast. It's 60 feet away. And I was... ninth grade, 5'2", 115 pounds. And I'll tell you what, scared to death. The Chronicle, Oakland Tribune, I used to have the clip. It said, Treiber walked four times tonight and stole the bases and got home. Why? Because I was so short and I'd get down so low, I didn't have much of a strike zone. And I'd walk every time. And I'd get to first base and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, you know what I found out? They put me at third base. I wasn't very good. I didn't have a strong enough arm. They put me at shortstop. That was deeper yet, and I didn't have a good arm. Brother Manna, he's smiling at me. He's 95 years old, and he's still a great athlete, or whatever he is. But they put me on second base. Wasn't as prominent. But I like second base. I don't want right field. But I like second base. Now, can I tell you something? That was the perfect spot for me. You just stay doing whatever God's will is for your life. You just keep doing what, and you watch how he'll put you in the perfect place. I know, bless her heart, she said, had to stay with me this whole time. I know Santa Clara, California is the perfect spot for me. I worked here in Santa Clara. I'd work in the Irvington district, 1967, 67 and 68, early 69. And my boss, Chuck Wall, would say, Jack, at the grocery store, there's a store on El Camino Real, Fry's, not Fry's Electronics, it was Fry's Grocery Store. And he said, I want you to go over to Santa Clara and work. I know for several days, but it may be all week. And it's an amazing thing. There was no Montague, but that building that we had over there on Clyde Avenue, it was built in 62. That building was there. If I knew how to get in there, there was no Montague, I could have got in there and said, Parker in front, say, you know, one day I'm going to pastor this church. I didn't know that was God's will. I didn't know that was the place for me. But God opened up the door here on March the 1st, 1976. And I'll never forget, I received a call on the campus of Pacific Coast Baptist College in San Dimas. And they called me and said, Brother Jack, on a Thursday, they said, I think I was preaching down. They said, you're going to come and pastor the church here. And you can start on the 1st, on March the 1st. I'll never forget that call. And I believe those days, I believe, Pat Carr, you were working there. And I've often wondered if you were the secretary that called me, took that call. I didn't know Santa Clara. I pledged my life to you at that time. So if you'll let me come, I'll stay 50 years. We've revised that now. I could die tonight knowing I've been in the perfect will of God. I know I've been in the perfect, and the longer I've been at, God's revealed it to me. The will of God is permanent. Just stay with it a lifetime till you die. The will of God is perfect. Get in the perfect will of God. When we got married, your aunt sang for us. So was it surrender to the perfect will of God? Surrender to the perfect will of God. I dare not give him less. Though he should lead my steps from here abroad, I want his will. We want his will. Our lives to bless. Whatever he wants for us, his will. His will we must do. Wherever he wants to send us, his will we must do. If he but speaks, we'll obey at his voice. We've already decided his will is our choice. Whatever he wants for us, his will we must do. Ladies, if your husband knows the will of God for his life, don't fight him. And sometimes, fellas, your wife could see the will of God. I don't know how many times I've heard a man comes forward in a meeting and he said, I've surrendered to the gospel ministry. And he says to his wife a lot of times, what do you think? And she goes, I've been waiting. I was wondering when you're going to finally say yes to God. It's the permanent will of God. It's the perfect will of God. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8, please. You're right there, so let's just keep moving forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I won't be much longer now. This is the passage, chapter 8 and 9, about investing money. And verse number 5, and this they did, they were giving beyond their power. And this they did, not as we'd hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us by the will of God. It's personal. Give your life. Give your best to the master. Give your life. It's personal. God, my life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mind, rich treasures to find. Give wisdom to choices I make along each step that I take, so that when I complete life's race, well done, thou might say. So often we want a will that's, I have the public will of God. I preached a message across the country years ago. I stand in the limelight on this platform. It's the old platform I used to preach about. I stand in the limelight, but there's a wife who stands in the shadows. And I wonder when I get to heaven, the rewards. Jack Treiber, you get prepared for the Bema Seat judgment, but let's have first your wife come. You ladies, it's not secondary helping a man achieve what God wants in his life. He needs you. He needed a helpmeet. He wasn't complete. I've often thought of that, honey, with my mother and dad were, and you loved them and you're so good to them. But my mother and dad were good people. They invested their lives in their three kids, but they only could take me to age 18. And I left home and never got back. I went to Bible college across the country. And I would still talk. My dad made sure I had to write my mother every week. And he let me call collect every other week, I think it was, for about 3 minutes. You know, when I found my wife, and when God brought her into my life, she's still, all you girls are fanning. Is it hot down there? You're all, I'm not trying to be cruel to you. You're all fanning the whole row. So put 30 ton of air on those girls right there. And the next ladies are over there freezing to death, aren't you? Go ahead. You girls can fan it. I'm almost done. I said that three times now. But my wife had her work cut out for me. Because there's, girls, there's no such thing as a ready-made man. Mother, why do you think their dad and mother gave them away so quickly to you? They were unloading their problem on you. It's personal. And then for the sake of time, let me just give, you can write it down. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know what it is? There's a purity in the will of God. There's a purity. Doing it from your heart. The will of God, no telling how much you could be used of God if you just have a pure heart. But if you're always a drama king or queen, you're moody, you're up, you're down, you're all over the map, you're going to miss the will of God. A lot of things in life I don't mind missing, but I don't want to miss the will of God. God created me for a purpose, and really, if I can't fulfill the purpose, there's no sense in me still living around. I just think God has a will for my, and God has a will for your life. Right now, kids, the will of God for your life is to obey your parents. That's God's will for your life. God's will for your life is to come to the house of God. God's will for your life is that you obey. God's will for your life is that you're kind to your siblings. That's God's will. And you're learning to say yes to God. And so the will of God is purity. It's permanent. It's perfect. It's personal. It's purity. And then I want to say the will of God is praise. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Concerning Christ Jesus, the will of God is to do it like a happy camper. I worked in a ministry one time where the sound man, you're smiling, you know where I'm going. The sound man was ticked off all the time. He was just ticked. And if the pastor said, we got a little squeal, he'd turn it up higher, squeal. And if he didn't like the soloist or whatever, he would squeal him. He was just ticked. You know, he had no business being in there. There's no praise. There's no happiness. There's no joy. There's no thankfulness that God chose me. So when my father-in-law said, Jack, you're going to be our janitor, I thought, well, good. I'm going to learn to be a good janitor. I needed to learn that. And I'd already been working as a janitor at nights at the college. And I learned a little bit about being a janitor. And you know what? I was just having a good old time cleaning up as a janitor. That's how Kevin Padilla is around here. That guy has a spirit. Never comes to church. I can never, Kevin, you're here. There you are. I can never find you in church. But he's got such a good attitude. And you know what? Don't tell him. He thinks he's not only serving God, he thinks he's fulfilling the will of God for his life. And guess what? He is. There's sometimes it bothers when people pray, may the message tonight speak to everyone from the pastor to the janitor. Well, the Levites, they handled all the special items of the tabernacle. They were like janitors. They carried the boards, the sockets. They carried furniture. And in addition to that, then the Nethinims served the Levites. They were servants to the servants. You talk about a low job. Don't ever say the sons of Korah took care of the house of God. And Korah said, Psalm 84, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Look how haywire he got. And then number six, and I'm done, the performance of the will of God. Listen to this, Hebrews 10:36. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but whosoever doeth the will of God. Are you doing the will of God? Are you fulfilling the will of God? And granted, some, God may have you in some holding pattern right now. I don't know what, but don't rush God. I was preaching on the subject that I was assigned last night on prayer. And you know what we do with prayer? We're trying to get God to get on our timetable. But God wants me on his timetable. And in his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time. Don't rush the will of God. He'll reveal it to you. And some of you, it's just a waiting time. It's an amazing thing. In Acts 1, they were going to get power and all that that follows. But Acts 1, it began with prayer. And in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, you just wait. You just wait. Maybe you're waiting right now. There's nothing wrong with waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait again, I say on the Lord. Again, I say wait. Psalm 27:14, just wait. And so as we close tonight, God has a will for your life. Character always reveals itself. When we do not do the will of God, we're lazy, we're complainers, we're agitated, we're starters and stoppers, we're dependable, we're non-dependable. No, that's not the will of God. We're happy, we're offended.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.